This session is titled Navigation Programs and Services for Men and Boys. I would like to ask for you all to turn your cell phones off or put them in a mode that will not make loud noises. There will be a survey that we would like you to complete upon completion of the session. So if you would do that, that would be good. One of our presenters will not be here today, so we have three presentations that will take place, and I will start with our first one, which is titled Insurance Status and Disparities in Health Access and Health Status of Men Aged 18 to 64 in Massachusetts, an examination of data from local level behavioral risk factor surveillance system, the BRFSS. As an epidemiologist at the Institute for Community Health in Cambridge, Massachusetts, Lisa is the lead analyst and technical advisor on a wide range of public health research projects ranging from community-based interventions to clinical research involving electronic medical record data. Lisa's formal training is in nutritional science and epidemiology. Her personal research interests include mental and cognitive health, chronic disease prevention and management, healthy eating and physical activity, and community-based programs and intervention. Please help me welcome Lisa.
So basically my interests are everything at APHA, and it's hard to decide what to be at. So today I've brought some results of some data, just kind of a brief exploratory look at some local level BRFSS data related to men's health, men's health disparities, and also the role insurance status might play. First, the obligatory disclosures. I have none to disclose. As part of my work at the Institute for Community Health, we work with a lot of community-based organizations and public health departments in the Cambridge Health Alliance service area. I have a map that I'll show you in a few seconds. We do a lot of work with community partners, and kind of the foundation of everything that we do really relies on utilizing data. And I don't mean just looking at data and kind of talking about it, but we actually really try to put it into action and use it to actually inform programs and improve them and really get policy changes to take place. So today is a little bit of that. We're actually using some data that we've collected a couple years ago to really help inform the work that we are doing in Cambridge, Massachusetts. So historically, men do experience poorer health outcomes than women. With the exception of Alzheimer's disease, the mortality rates of men are higher for all 15 top causes of mortality. And on top of that, men's mortality rates for accidents, suicide, and homicide are all at least double that of women. And there are some subgroups of men that are at particularly high risk of poor health outcomes, and that includes men of color and men of low socioeconomic status. Now, there are lots of reasons for these poor health outcomes, some of which is basically men's use of the healthcare system. Often, men are described as being less engaged in their own healthcare. They access preventative services less. They've also shown a bit lower adherence to care plans, even when they are engaged in care. But also, care plans tend to differ somewhat based on gender, so that can also have a negative effect. And then on top of all this, this kind of layered the financial access issue to health services. So lack of insurance is especially prevalent among low-income households, unemployed or underemployed individuals, and Hispanic and African Americans. And those are all groups that are, at the same time, at higher risk of poor health outcomes. So you kind of get this situation where some groups of men are really set up to just have disparate health. Just a quick look at some national data at uninsurance rates. Among men age 18 to 64, overall in the U.S., there was an estimate just a few years ago, 22.4% of men were uninsured. When you look at all minority men, however, that jumps to nearly 36%. So it's quite a difference there. And also, when you consider income, not just race, but income, if you look at men who are below 100% of the federal poverty line, it is also near 32% uninsured. compared to 16.7 among all men age 15 or older. So we are in Massachusetts, and we do have kind of a unique situation here. We are a smaller state, about 6.3 million residents, but historically we've been one of the more expensive states for health care. In 2006, Massachusetts became the first state to require all residents to participate in health insurance, a la Romney Care and everything that's happened since then. So participation in health insurance means, as a resident, you need to have health insurance either via your employer, the individual marketplace, or with the assistance of a publicly funded program. We have a health insurance exchange here that's been set up for many years. It's called the Connector. And concurrently with requiring coverage, they've also increased access by expanding eligibility up to 300% of federal poverty line for publicly subsidized coverage. And there's also an affordability exemption, so an individual can't be penalized for purchasing health insurance that they actually can't afford. So the result of this Massachusetts law in 2006 was quite dramatic. Between 2006 and 2008, the uninsured rate dropped from 13%, which is also notably lower than the national average already, but it dropped from 13% to 4%. And this chart, which is from one of the Connector's annual reports, shows you that the green bars are the newly insured individuals. So about 400,000 extra residents now have health insurance because of the law. But what impact could this or did this actually have on health disparities in Massachusetts? There was a paper in 2010 that sought to answer this question, and they were using state-level BRFSS data from 2006 to 2008 to look at whether insurance coverage changed, whether the experience of cost barriers changed, and looking at self-reported health status. And the results showed pretty dramatically that across all racial groups and all income groups, coverage rates increased. However, the disparities among men of color and or individuals of color, because they were looking at everybody, and by income level, the disparities in those still persisted. So while coverage improved universally, there were still these disparities evident. So that kind of brings us to the local level. In Cambridge, in the Cambridge area, we're a little different from the state of Massachusetts as a whole. It's quite diverse, both economically and racially and ethnically. So we're kind of interested in just first looking at what these same disparities are in our service area. And we also wanted to focus in specifically on men, because there's been a historic focus in Cambridge on men's health with a variety of programs focused on that. So we wanted to look at that. But we also wanted to take it a little bit further and explore the effect insurance coverage might actually have in these relationships. And our goals really were just to do this as an exploratory analysis and use these results in decision-making for the local programs, and maybe even to generate pilot data for future analyses or for funding requests. So this is the Cambridge Health Alliance service area. Boston is down towards the bottom of the screen. It encompasses Cambridge, Somerville, Malden, Everett, Chelsea, and Revere. And we are a health organization comprised of three main hospitals, which each include an emergency department, as well as approximately 15 community health centers. And these are the communities that really are the primary service area. But of course, as a safety net hospital system, we do draw populations from outside those towns. But the data that we were focused on was collected in specifically these five communities, Cambridge, Somerville, Everett, Chelsea, and Revere. And about 30% are non-white or Hispanic individuals. The survey we conducted was called the Five Cities in Massachusetts Behavioral Risk Factor Survey. We did this in 2008 and 2009. It was a stratified random sample of telephone-equipped households. The methodology used mirrored that used at the state and the national level for the BRFSS surveys. And we reached adults age 18 or older. The questions also mirrored the state and the national surveys. And in the work we did here that I'm showing today, we basically relied on descriptive analyses, cross tabulations, and logistic regression. And everything was analyzed weighted to account for the sampling scheme. We really wanted to look similar to that state-level analyses that was done. So we looked at men of color as one group, and then we also looked at by socioeconomic status using household income and household size to kind of categorize men based on what percent of poverty their income fell into. So those are our exposure groups we focused on. And then also mimicking the same outcomes of interest, we first looked at whether they had insurance or not, simply yes, no, did you have any kind of coverage? Experience of cost barriers to care in the prior 12 months, which was a positive answer to the question, was there any time in the past 12 months you needed any kind of medical care but couldn't get it because you couldn't afford it? And then the last outcome of interest was self-reported health status, and we were interested in a self-report of fair or poor health. We examined all this with a couple of key confounders, including age, marital status, and employment. We did look at education, but it was evident very early on that that was really tightly related to both our exposure categories of race and income. So we kind of reserved that for more secondary exploration later. So our study sample consisted of 866 unique actual individuals, but because of the sampling scheme, that actually weighted accounts for about 91,000 observations in the data set. 32% were men of color, and 19.5% fall into the less than 200% of federal poverty level, so the lowest income category. Now, just looking at our basic outcomes by race and ethnicity, we can see that men of color were more likely to experience lack of health coverage, 14.2% compared to 6.4%. They were more likely to report a cost barrier in the past year, also 14.2% compared to 6.8%. And they're more likely to report fair or poor health status, 16.5%. So this shows us in our service area what the disparity in these outcomes really is. And we can also see that overall, these are also higher than at the state level. When we look by income and poverty, becomes even more apparent. In the lowest income category, almost 21% of men reported no insurance coverage, 22% reported a cost barrier in the last year, and 26% in the lowest income category reported fair or poor health status. So that by the income, it's even more apparent, the disparity. We then wanted to look at each of these outcomes in turn while accounting for a couple of key confounders, age, marital status, and employment. So the first column is the unadjusted odds ratio, and that's going to mirror what we were just seeing in the proportions being different. But basically, men of color were 2.4 times as likely to have no insurance, and men in the lowest income category were over 5.4 times as likely to have no insurance. Once we adjusted for those three key confounders, the effect didn't change that much. It went from 2.4 to 2.75 and went from 5.4 to 4.25. So really wasn't too much confounding going on. And in the last model, which I call full model, I'm actually put both race and income into the same model, understanding that they do overlap quite a bit. They're significantly associated with one another. So they are going to account for some of the effect going on. But even so, both retain statistical significance, and men of color were 2 times as likely to have no health insurance, and the lowest income group of men were over 3 times as likely to have no insurance. Same kind of story happened when we looked at cost barrier. In the adjusted model, men of color were 2.4 times as likely to report a cost barrier. The lowest income men were over 4.5 times as likely to report a cost barrier. When we put both of those together into the same model, however, the effect of race kind of dropped out and was attenuated to close to 1. which kind of tells us that really it's the income poverty categories are really accounting for the presence of these cost barriers. But taking this a step further, what about insurance? So this is the cost barrier model actually stratified by insurance status. And the side by side, it's the age, marital status, and employment model. And you can see that among men without insurance, let's see if I can get this, among men without insurance, men of color were 3.2 times as likely to report having a cost barrier, whereas men with insurance, it was 1.85 times as likely. So they're granted, these confidence intervals are very wide, and this doesn't actually reach statistical significance. The odds ratios still are our best estimate of the effect in these two groups, and the qualitative difference between these two odds ratios begin to give us a hint that having health insurance might get you a little bit in the direction of lessening these disparities in cost barriers. Interestingly, when you look by income, the effect sizes are larger among those with insurance compared to those without insurance. And this could mean a couple things. If you don't have insurance, you're less likely to even go seek care, and hence you're less likely to encounter a cost barrier. Or it could mean that the men with insurance are more likely to have types of insurance that just aren't effectively covering the care that they need. But again, this is just kind of a hint at what might be going on. It gives us a start on this topic. Our last outcome is predicting fair or poor health status. And again, in the adjusted model here, we see that men of color were 5.5 times as likely to report fair or poor health status after controlling for the three key confounders. And men in the lowest income category were also about 5.5 times as likely to report fair or poor health status. Putting each in the model, both were attenuated a bit, but they both retain statistical significance. So they're both playing a role. When we stratify this by health insurance, however, the effect becomes really, really evident. While men of color with insurance are still significantly more likely to report fair or poor health, when they don't have insurance, the odds ratio jumps to over 26, which is very large. And similarly, with the lowest income, with insurance, it's still over 3 times as likely to have fair or poor health. But those men without insurance, the odds ratio makes them 24 times as likely to report fair or poor health. So again, it's giving us a hint that just having insurance, this financial access to health care, is getting us a little bit in the direction that we want to go. We did a little exploratory work based on those findings to look within men of color, what was differentiating those men who did and didn't have insurance. And we just kind of started this phase of the work, so I'm kind of limited to just the confounders we were really focused on, and this can extend in the future to really look at their health behaviors in the rest of the survey. But I do want to point out that among the men without insurance, these are all the men of color without insurance, 70% of them were actually employed. There was a bit more that were unemployed or disabled, but the majority were still employed, yet they didn't have insurance. So that begins to give us some idea that, you know, it's not necessarily the key things that you think are differentiating people with and without insurance. Income and poverty definitely play a role, but there's probably a lot more going on that we really have left to explore. Similarly, when we confine the data to just the men in that lowest income category, we find that really it's just race and education that differentiated the two groups. And again, actually more men without insurance in this lowest income were employed than in the group that did have insurance. So this is really prompting us to really look at the rest of the survey and see what the health behavioral differences are and some of the more social aspects. So in conclusion, in this brief exploratory look, we begin to see that financial access to health care might be a very important factor in the long term if a couple key things continue to happen. If universal coverage will get more men in the door And if there becomes a more evolving focus on preventative care and complex care management, which is currently happening in Massachusetts, and with the growing federal and state awareness of the importance of a more population health model and community engagement, that I think having insurance is going to show some benefit. But the reality is medical care really can only account for a fraction of the causes of these health disparities. So we have to really focus a lot more effort towards addressing the social determinants and the other social barriers to health care that are probably the bigger root of these disparities. Programs and policies need to look at the whole person, and care should probably address the full range of men's health care needs. And that's where navigation really can play a really strong role in looking at the whole man and all of their needs. So thank you. There are a couple pictures from the programming in Cambridge. Just put them up there. It was 866 men, and then weighted, it accounted for like 91,000 in the weighted sample.
Okay, so you're finding section one, calling for universal coverage of health insurance, and that's calling for preventive service expense, correct?
Well, that's the context of health insurance here in Massachusetts. That's the direction the country is going as well. More universal coverage and granting financial access to health care. Yeah.
Just given how contentious that issue is, this is a great work. But I recognize that with your all these ratios and the comments and how big they were.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of around, significant amount. Like, would you use that data to actually call for universal health care using that data?
No, I wouldn't use this to call for universal health care. What we're using this data for is really to evaluate at a local level, because this kind of data at a local level is pretty rare. We've got the benefit of having it, so we really have really tried to look at the data and examine some of the issues that our communities are working with. This, I tried to really, you know, put out there that this was exploratory, that we're using this as pilot data. Certainly anything we did like this, we would want to then get access to the state-level data that has a larger sample size, that has more of the full state coverage, to see if the same findings would be there. But using this, at least at the local level, we're learning something about the men in our service area.
Is there any data out there that says universal health care will actually increase longevity and increase outcome? Or
I don't think there is yet, probably. You know, yeah, it definitely is. Yeah, certainly it's not the end all be all, it's not the panacea of solutions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone assumes that everyone's for that. But there's a lot of people that are questioning how expensive it can be. And what are the actual evidence that shows the outcomes will actually be better?
Right.
Is there how much it's going to cost to do that?
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. I think a lot of the health services data and all the research that's going on in primary care is going to start examining that. Certainly from a cost perspective. Yeah. I actually haven't looked outside. No, I haven't actually looked for that outside the U.S., you mean?
Yes.
No, I haven't actually taken the time to look through more international literature, but that's a good idea.
I think maybe one should
take out the visual line in terms of the name of color. Yeah, that's a good idea to start looking at that, too. We just focused on men for this analysis. Yeah.